Today, I want to speak to you about the Holy Spirit. Some people go, the Holy who? The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, the Ghost, I don't know. There's a lot of different names that people attributed from different traditions. But today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And it's an essential ingredient if you're going to follow Christ. Often in practice, we often have an unofficial theology, people do, which I think sometimes they look upon God, which is we in the Church of God, we believe in a three-person God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But I think a lot of times in unofficial theology, people look at it like this. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and then there's this lower essence known as the Holy Spirit, because it's just different. It's just weirder for them to understand. And what I want to suggest to you is what we believe, what I believe personally, the Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father and as Jesus, God the Son. And so today we're going to look at the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in three dimensions, in 3D, if you will. Because every one of us that are gathered here today live in one of three dimensions. Today, spiritually speaking, as you walked into this room, you're either dead, you're defeated, or you're dangerous. Spiritually dead, spiritually defeated, or spiritually dangerous in a good connotation for Jesus Christ. And spiritually dead would simply mean this: you're dead in your sin. You're dead to the things of God. You're separated from God. Completely unable to trust him, completely unable to trust his word, the Bible. If you've ever been to a funeral and you see the casket up front and there's somebody laying in the casket and you touch them, they probably haven't touched you back, have they? Why? Because they're dead. They can't move. They can't respond. Even though you cry, you say something to them, I love you, I'll see you on the other side. They don't say anything back. Why? Because they're dead. Same is true of us spiritually. Dead in sin, there is no response. There's no ability to initiate a response. They can't produce, the spiritually dead can't produce a desire to obey God, let alone respond to God in and of themselves. And so today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't believe that Jesus is the one true Son of God and yet God who came, died on a cross, was buried and resurrected again, and rose 3 days later for your sins, then you're spiritually dead here today. And if you've not received that forgiveness, you're spiritually dead. Second category is spiritually defeated. I'm referring to those people who, because of the Holy Spirit's work in their life, they have been enabled to receive the grace gift of Jesus, although they couldn't respond on their own. We're going to talk about this in a little bit. Although they can't respond on their own because they're dead in sin, God allows them momentary opportunity to relate, to reach out and receive this grace gift of Jesus. So not only now have they believed and received Jesus' forgiveness, they're no longer spiritually dead. They've been made spiritually alive because of the resurrection of Christ. They still, for some reason, are living a powerless life. They've been made alive in Christ, no longer spiritually dead, but they're constantly fighting battles, urges between good and bad, good and evil, and they're constantly losing their battles. That's spiritually defeated. And then today we'll also talk about the spiritually dangerous. Spiritually dangerous is the disciple of Jesus Christ. He's walking, talking, living in their God-given new identity. They've been given because of Jesus and a new nature. They're no longer spiritually dead. They're no longer spiritually defeated. They are spiritually dangerous. It's the man or the woman who, as the scriptures say, is living by the Spirit. They are experiencing a growing, right, and a greater love for Jesus and the Word of God. They're experiencing an increased concern for other people who they come in contact with every day who are separated from God, who are dead in their sin still. They boldly speak about Jesus to anybody who will hear. These are the believers who, when enabled by the Holy Spirit, are daily putting to death their own sin urges and living in the freedom of God's power. That asks the question, in which spiritual dimension do you reside today? Are you dead? Are you defeated? Or are you dangerous? So it's going to take a little while. You're going to be patient with me. This sermon may go over a little bit, because what we're going to do in the next few minutes, I'm going to go around and ask each person to share their own conclusion. Dead, defeated, dangerous. I'm going to start right down here, in the front, and then we're going to go through. And I just speak into my, and my mic as loud as you can. I got a mic up in the balcony. Some of you are like, dude, where's the exit? Right? I'm just messing with you. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, you're melting right here, right now. I wouldn't do that. That's like abuse, right? Some of you about had a cardiac flatlined here right now. But in all seriousness, my guess is some of you didn't like the answer that leaped to the front of your mind, let alone the thought of having to give voice to the thought that just leaped to the front of your mind, right? Here's the good news today. Regardless of which dimension you labeled yourself in presently being, the Holy Spirit's there. Because the Holy Spirit works in 3D. He works in all three dimensions. If you're here today and you're like, well, as you kind of described that, I'm pretty sure I'm dead. If you think that's you, I would like to offer you some words of hope from the Word of God today. We're going to read a lot of scripture, so I hope you'll stay engaged with me. Don't lose, but let the Word of God speak to you today, okay? In John chapter 16, Jesus says, I'll tell you the truth. And he was speaking to the believers at the time, right? These are the ones who are not spiritually dead. They put their faith in Christ. I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, now we're talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? He will come, he will convict the world. That word convict is an interesting word. It means to expose the facts, to convince someone of truth. He will convict, he will convince someone, the world, of truth concerning what? Concerning sin and what else? Righteousness and what else? Judgment. As it relates to sin, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, Jesus said. The world doesn't believe I am who I say that I am. They don't believe I'm the Son of God, God incarnate. And see, he's saying that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will come, and he will make the world aware of their sin. And then the Holy Spirit will enable those to be receptive to God's grace, which is given in Jesus Christ when he dies on the cross. The Holy Spirit prepares the human heart to be able to receive the redemptive work of Christ. He prepares a human heart by convicting it, exposing the facts, convincing someone the truth concerning their sin. My friends, here's the greatest sin that a human being could ever commit, and that is to disbelieve that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's to believe that Jesus Christ is not who he says he is. He didn't come, didn't die, wasn't buried, never rose from the dead. He's just a good moral teacher. That's the worst sin anybody could ever commit. John said it like this in his gospel. Jesus is speaking, though, but when the Helper, again, think Helper, think Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will, notice what it says, bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to bear witness to who I am. That's what Jesus is saying. That's his role. That's one of his functions. He's going to tell the world who I am and convince them and convict them of the truth. Those who reject Jesus, though, are spiritually dead, and they'll be eternally separated from God. And that's never God's desire, and that's why some of you are familiar with this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, have eternal life. For God did not send his Son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Jesus. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. Now watch this. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. You're spiritually dead because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. See, another function is to bear witness to Jesus. He goes on in John 16, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. See, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is not only convict and convince, the spiritually dead, but then he also draws people to God. In John 12, Jesus said, "And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth," when he was lifted up onto the cross, "will draw all people to myself." That word "draw" is the word helkua. It means to drag. It also means to lead or to urge forward. It's like the fisherman who threw his net and he dragged in the catch of fish. He's leading them. He's urging them to come to them. God is the one who does the drawing. He is the one who leads to salvation. Here's what I want you to know. If you're spiritually dead, you cannot come to God on your own. We're dead in sin. You have no mobility. In our sinful state, we have no ability to come to God, let alone even desire to respond to God in and of ourselves. But the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces us that we are sinners by nature, we have a sinful state, and we need saved. And the Holy Spirit is the one, through Jesus and God the Father, draws and leads us to Jesus, who can save us as a result of his death, his burial, and his resurrection 3 days later. You see, the Holy Spirit enables us by Jesus' grace to respond to the invitation that Jesus gives: you must be born again. Now, we don't have time to go into a lot of details, but in the Church of God, we believe in what's called prevenient grace. It's different in different traditions. Some people don't believe in prevenient grace. Some people believe in that you can't help but respond to God. It's just, you're going to do it. It has to happen. In the Church of God, we believe in prevenient grace. That means this: it's grace that is given to us by God through his Holy Spirit that releases us from our bondage to sin. In other words, you're dead, right? You're dead in sin. You can't respond. But God brings back he pulls the deadness of your heart away and gives you an opportunity in that moment to come to Christ and believe and receive his salvation. Now, some places believe you don't have a choice. When he does that, it's going to happen. Prevenient grace in the Church of God and Armenian Wesleyan theology would believe this, that God gives you this moment to respond. Now you have a choice. Before, you had no choice. You're dead. You can't move. He pulls the deadness back from your heart, gives you the grace to understand and reach out and receive this grace gift. By faith, you can believe in Jesus Christ and receive salvation. You can also reject it if you choose. But here's the thing. Without the Holy Spirit drawing men and women, they don't even know they need to be saved. They can't do it on their own. The Holy Spirit convicts and convinces the spiritually dead of God's righteousness and perfect holiness and of their own sinful condition. Let me ask you something. If right now you were to stand before God and describe yourself to him, what would you say about yourself? Most of us would probably be of the opinion that we're good people and occasionally we do bad things. I mean, right? You might be the one who said, "Well, you know what, God, I'm a good person. Occasionally I do some bad things." I mean, after all, nobody's what? Nobody's perfect, except you, Jesus, but I'm not. But that's not what the Bible teaches. See, the Bible teaches by our very nature, we're not good people who occasionally do bad things. The Bible says by our very nature, we are bad people who occasionally get it right, who occasionally do good things. The Bible says that we are sinners by our very nature. Now, some people say, I don't know if I believe that, but let me ask you some questions. If a person were truly a good person who occasionally just do bad things, then why not consistently be good rather than bad? If you are inherently good, then be consistently good. And if you know your anger is getting you in trouble, then just stop being angry. If you know your lustful thoughts are getting you in trouble and taking you to places on the web you shouldn't go, then stop lusting, right? Can you imagine if that theology were true? Can you imagine how easy counseling would be? You go into a counselor, they say, "Why are you here?" well, man, I'm really kind of messed up right now. I've been making some bad choices. I've got these urges of following these. And the counselor at the very end of all of that looks at you and says, I can fix that right now. Yeah, how? Stop it. Pay him $95, walk out, you're a changed person, right? Just stop making bad choices, easy peasy. See, the Bible teaches you and I are not a sinner because we sin. We sin because at our very core of who we are, our very nature is corrupt. We have a sinful nature, and it goes all the way back as old as the Garden of Eden. And I don't have time to go into it today, but you were born, every one of us, a sinner. Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 3. As the scriptures say, no one is good. No one in all the world is innocent. No one has ever really followed God's paths or even truly wanted to. Everyone has turned away. All have gone wrong. No one anywhere has kept on doing what is right. Not one. Their talk is foul and filthy, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are loaded with lies. Everything they say has it in it the sting and poison of deadly snakes. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They're quick to kill, hating anyone who disagrees with them. You don't see that in the world anywhere, do you? Whether they go, they leave misery and trouble behind them, and they have never known what it is to feel secure or enjoy God's blessing. They care nothing about God nor what he thinks of them. So the judgment of God lies very heavily upon the Jews, for they are responsible to keep God's laws instead of doing all these evil things. Not one of them has any excuse. In fact, all the world stands hushed and guilty before Almighty God. Now do you see it? No one can ever be right in God's sight by doing what the law commands. For the more we know of God's laws, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying them. His laws serve only to make us see that we're sinners. But now God has shown us a different way to heaven, not by being good enough and trying to keep his laws, but by a new way. Now God says he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty, if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. Do you hear what Paul's saying? We are sinners because we're all born with a sin nature. We sin because we're sinners at the core. And so in our old sinful nature, at our core, we're dead in sin. And that sinful nature is what keeps us dead and keeps us separated from God. Now maybe, just maybe, even as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit, because he's present in all three dimensions and among the spiritual dead, is starting to move in your heart right now. Maybe he's starting to say, that kind of makes sense what that guy's saying, doesn't it, to you? And maybe you're kind of saying, well, that's me, but I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be far away from God. How can I be brought near to God? And if that's true, I have a sinful nature. I'm not sure if I believe that, but if I do, I don't want that. Well, then how can you be brought near to God? Well, here's the thing. You can't alone. It's only through the Holy Spirit making you aware of the guilt of your sin and your sin nature that you can respond to faith in Jesus Christ and his forgiveness of your sin. Only the Holy Spirit can enable the dead to be able to respond to Jesus' invitation to new life. And so once the Holy Spirit convicts you and convinces you of your sin and how far you've fallen short of God's best plan for your life, then the Holy Spirit will enable you to believe in your heart and to call out in faith to receive Jesus as a Savior from your sin. If you would do that today, not only would Jesus Christ forgive you, not only would he say not guilty any longer, but he would also bestow upon you what the Bible calls a new identity. He would take that old sinful nature and replace it with a new nature. That's why Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He said this, once, remember, he's talking to the church now, supposed believers in Jesus. Once you were under God's curse, doomed forever by your sins. You went along with the crowd and were just like all the others, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air, who's at work right now in the hearts of those who are against the Lord. Those who are spiritually dead is what he's talking about. All of us used to be just as they are. Just remember where you came from. You were dead once in your sins. Our lives expressing the evil within us, doing every wicked thing that our passions or evil thoughts might lead us into. We started out bad, being born with evil natures, and were under God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again when he raised Christ from the dead. Only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved, and lifted us up from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with him in the heavenly realms, all because of what Jesus did. Do you catch this? Listen to me, church. In Jesus Christ, not only are you given forgiveness of your sin, you are given a new identity. No longer dead, made alive in Christ. God now sees you as he sees Jesus, as righteous and right standing with him. And with this new identity in Christ, the Bible says the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us the moment we put our faith in Jesus. Let me talk about that for a second, because I've heard little kids say that. I heard a little kid ask his mom, "Mom, pastor's always talking about asking Jesus in my heart, but how's he ever going to fit in there?" Right? I'm not sure we're tracking. I mean, we laugh at that, but let's make sure we understand. Because the Holy Spirit, for many of us, is kind of a mysterious thing to talk about. The Holy Spirit is not limited by spatial demarcation. Are we clear? The Holy Spirit can be everywhere. It can fill anything that will yield to God. It's kind of like at Christmas time. Nobody here ever probably made this rookie mistake as a dad, but I did. We got our kids a favorite Christmas gift that they wanted. And they unwrapped it, and they were like, "Dad, put it together. Let's go. I want to play. And then you turn it over, and you realize it says on the back of the box, "Batteries not included." And you're like, "Oh, no. I didn't even think about it." And this is back in the day. This has been like 20 years ago, right? This is back in the day when, like, nothing's open on Christmas Day either. I'm driving all through North Webster looking at it. Ain't nowhere to find any batteries. I'm going through the house looking for any old battery that has juice left in it. Nothing. All your kids, you know, like, right? He's just going crazy. Well, maybe a poor analogy, but listen to me. The Holy Spirit is your power source to this new nature, this new, like a kid got a new toy, this is new for you, right? The Holy Spirit is included with the new identity. That's why Jesus could say, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You'll never be separated from God, because I'm sending my helper. I'm sending the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit comes and he takes up residence. He tabernacles. He lives within us as the personal presence of Jesus. Now, my friend, if you would confess your sins and believe that you were born with a sin nature, and believe that Jesus came in order to wipe out that sin nature, he died, was buried, and rose again. And if the Holy Spirit convicts you in this moment, you're like, "I believe that. That's true. That's me. I'm spiritually dead." And he pulls back and gives you this opportunity to respond. Reach out and take it. Today, would you receive Christ? The Holy Spirit's giving you that opportunity. Would you receive him? And if you will, you'll no longer be among the spiritually dead. You'll be among the spiritually made alive in him. You say, "Well, okay, but Pastor Jeff, some of you are like, I want that right now." We're going to give you an opportunity to receive that at the end of this service. You're going to have that chance if you've never done that. But some of you are saying, "Well, Pastor Jeff, I've done that, but here's the thing. If that's true, then why do I always feel so defeated? Why does life seem so hard for me all the time? Why do I continue to do all the bad stuff? I mean, I recognize it. It's not what I want, but still." Well, here's the thing. You're in good company today, because the Apostle Paul says a little bit about the same kind of feelings he had. And I feel like I'm pretty good company at times when I know the guy who wrote over a third of the New Testament, who was called by God, saved by God in a miraculous way on a road to Damascus, would say these same things that I often have felt in my life, and perhaps you have too. In Romans 7, here's what Paul says. He says, man, I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to do, what I hate. And I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong, and my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws that I'm breaking. But I can't help myself because I'm no longer doing it. It is sin inside me that makes me do these evil things. I know I am rotten through and through so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. And no matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but can't. When I want to do good, I don't. When I try not to do wrong, I do it anyways. Now, if I'm doing what I don't want it to, it's plain where the trouble is. Sin still has me in its evil grasp. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but there's something else that's deep within me, in my lower nature, that's at war with my mind, and it wins the fight, and it makes me a slave to the sin that's still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved to sin. So you see how it is. My new life tells me to do right, but the old nature that is still inside me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Anybody get a witness? Can you relate to the frustration of Paul's predicament? See, listen to me now. The sins of your past in Jesus, forgiven once and for all. You've been given new life, a new nature, a new identity, and a desire now that you can have the ability to live for God. Yet you find yourself living in the old sinful nature, revisiting sins that you thought you had put to bed, but in all actuality, they're not dead. Because you still get envious, you still get greedy. You find yourself this past week, you're probably a little prideful, maybe even a little bit of selfishness leaked through. You may have stretched the truth or spoken kind words to another in a moment of rage. You got so mad, man, you'd fight your grandma. You know what I'm saying? Some of you can relate to this today. And it all leaves you feeling spiritually defeated. But listen to what Paul says. For sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians and were baptized to become a part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. Your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism when he died. And when God the Father, with glorious power, brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. For you have become a part of him, and so you died with him, so to speak, when he died, and now you share his new life and shall rise as he did. Your old evil desires were nailed to the cross with him. That part of you that loves to sin was crushed, fatally wounded, so that your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control, no longer needs to be a slave to sin. For when you deaden to sin, you are freed from all its allure and its power over you. And since your old sin-loving nature died with Christ, we know that you will share his new life. Christ rose from the dead and will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Jesus. He died once for all to end sin power, but now he lives forever in unbroken fellowship with God. So look upon your old... Now watch this. Circle this if you're taking notes. So look upon your old sinful nature as number one, dead, and number two, unresponsive to sin. And instead, be alive to God, alert to him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not let sin control your puny body any longer. Do not give to its sinful desires. Do not let any part of your bodies become tools of wickedness to be used for sinning. But give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you are back from the death. You want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for his good purposes. Sin need never again be your master, for now you are no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you are free under God's favor and his mercy. Did you catch that? look upon your old sinful nature as dead and as unresponsive to sin. Be alive to God, alert to Him by the enabling power of His Spirit. Listen, friend, you and I are going to have our old nature until the day we die. But you're no longer held captive to it because of Jesus. See, before Jesus, right, while you were still spiritually dead, that old nature dominated everything. Dominated everything that you did, including your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. You could not help but sin. You were a slave to sin. You could do nothing but sin. There was no battle within you. The old nature dominated. It had no opposition, right? Here's a good idea to know that you're no longer spiritually dead, but you're probably maybe struggling with spiritual defeatism. It's the fact is that you know what you want to do, but you can't do it in the right you want to do. You do wrong in the wrong you don't want to do. You do. But yet there's a struggle about that. You're like, I don't want that. I want to do what God wants me to do. That whole struggle tells me that, you know what? You're alive, man. Because a dead person doesn't even recognize that. That sin nature just dominates them. You're going to do this. Okay, I'll do that. They have no choice in the matter. But now you got a choice because the Holy Spirit empowers you to live by the Spirit. Because of Jesus, you don't have to sin. And the whole same Holy Spirit who awoke faith in your dead soul, it's the same Holy Spirit that empowers you to live a holy life. That's why Paul said in Romans 8, watch this. For the power of the living, giving Spirit, and this power is mine through Christ Jesus, has freed me from the vicious circle of sin and death. We aren't saved from sin's grasp by knowing the commandments of God because we can't and don't keep them. But God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful. And he destroyed sin's control over us by giving himself as a sacrifice for our sins. So now we can obey God's laws if we follow after the Holy Spirit and no longer obey the old evil nature that's within us. Those who let themselves be controlled by their lower natures live only to please themselves. But those who follow after the Holy Spirit find themselves doing those things that please God. Following after the Holy Spirit leads to life and peace. But following after the old nature leads to death. Because the old sinful nature within us is against God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their own sinful selves, bent on following their own evil desires, can never please God. But you are not like that. You are controlled by your new nature if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And by the way, remember that if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ living in them, then they're not a Christian at all. They're still dead in their sin. So, dear brothers, you have no obligation whatever to your old sinful nature to do what it begs you to do. For if you keep on following it, you're lost and will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you crush it and its evil deeds, you will live. You say, well, that's powerful scripture, Pastor Jeff. But how does that all work in my daily living? How does that work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Well, let me ask you a question. What is your mindset? Let me ask the same question, but let me hit some emphasis. Instead of asking, what is your mindset, let me ask it like this. What is your mind set on? Here's what Paul teaches. Set your mind on this, that you're dead. The old you is dead. And live in your new reality that you've been made alive with Christ and you have a new nature. And if you'll follow the Holy Spirit, you'll have power for your living. See, you and I can choose to walk in and with the Spirit of God, or you can choose to continue to walk in your flesh. But now you have a choice, because the old, lower, sinful nature doesn't dominate anymore because it's been broken by Jesus. And so you can choose that way, but you don't have to. You can choose to walk with the Spirit of God. And when you begin to believe and live from God's word, when you walk in and with the Holy Spirit, not only will you experience victory rather than defeat, but my friend, you'll move to what I think is the third dimension, and that's what we call spiritually dangerous. And that's a good connotation when I say dangerous. Paul said in Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by him. That word filled means there's no gap. There's nothing left. It's to the very brim, right? But it also has this idea in the original language. It's a continuous filling. It's a continuous controlling by the Holy Spirit. It's a moment by moment experience of being continually filled. God's desire is for you and I to be continually, constantly controlled, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I hear a lot of people pray, you know, well, God, give me more of your Holy Spirit. Give me more of your Holy Spirit. Wrong kind of prayer. Wrong theology. Listen to me. You need not ask for more of the Holy Spirit, but you need to offer more of you to the Holy Spirit control. Huge difference. You don't need to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. You need to offer to the Holy Spirit more of you to his control. See, the Spirit of God, the Bible teaches this. Spirit of God was already poured out. It was already released in the book of Acts. It's our responsibility now to allow the Holy Spirit and its presence to saturate our life, to permeate through every pore of our being. And when you and I yield to the Spirit's power, here's what happens. He begins to reorder our desires for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to Jesus. The filling of the Spirit of God is an empowerment in a place where the Spirit had been all along. And the Apostle Paul tells us there's evidence to know if the Spirit's controlling your life. Did you know that? Do you want to know if you're spiritually dangerous today? Do you want to know if the Holy Spirit is really controlling you? Here's what Paul says. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce. Catch this. Not you. You won't do it. He will. You can't do this, but only with him. He, the Holy Spirit, will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You want to know if you're walking in the flesh or by the Spirit? I'm trying, man. I clicked on that website again. Yeah, you know, I said something I shouldn't have said in anger. I lost my control. You were doing that on your own. But when you walk with the Spirit, number one, you don't have to try to bring control. He will produce it in you, just like he will love and joy and peace and patience. Do you lack those things? Then probably you're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. If you want to live in victory, then you got to live in and with and through the Holy Spirit. Well, you say, how does one do that? What's that look like? I think it's like the difference between being in a car or an elevated train. You know, a car runs on the principle of storage, does it not? You go to the gas station, you fill your tank up, put all the gas till it won't come out, it starts coming out a little bit, and you're done, and then you drive away. And eventually, you burn up all the gas, correct? And so what do you have to do? If you don't want to be stranded on the side of the road, you pull in another gas station, you fill it up again, and the cycle continues, right? On the other hand, an elevated train is different. You have two rails on the outside, and you have a middle rail. And as long as this train stays connected with the third rail in the middle, it'll go, and never stop. Unlike a car, you're constantly running and stopping, filling and refilling. On an electric elevated train, as long as you stay in contact with the third rail in the middle, it goes. And here's what I think. Too many people think walking with the Holy Spirit is like riding in a car. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, you read your Bible as much as you can for a little bit, and then you go. But you don't stay connected to the Holy Spirit. You don't continually pray. You don't stay in the Word of God, and then you go until you're almost an empty, and then you got to go back and fill up again. It's just kind of up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Kind of. That's not the Christian life of the New Testament. The New Testament instructs us that the Holy Spirit is always here. Our job is to stay in contact with the Spirit of God. When we stay in contact with the Holy Spirit. He continuously provides the power that you and I need to live this Christian life for the glory of Jesus. Now, don't take this lightly, right? Because you and I both know if you walk down there and just touch that third rail, it'll kill you. This is not to be taken lightly. There's a lot of power right there, but a lot of us have not tapped into it. And so today I wrap up by asking you, what dimension are you in? Are you dead, defeated, or dangerous? The Holy Spirit is in this place, and he's speaking to your heart. In just a bit, we're going to give you a chance to respond, and here's the opportunity for you. If you're here today and you're like, Pastor Jeff, I know that's me. I'm dead. I hear you. I know I'm not supposed to hear you, but that must be because the Holy Spirit's allowing me to take this in, and it's giving me the opportunity to respond today. Don't miss that, my friend. If you want to come to this altar right here, we'll help you accept Christ today. If you've never received the gift of salvation in Jesus, if today you're like, I do believe he's the Son of God. I know that was me. I know that's me. I want to be brought to life again. Then this is for you. If you're here today and you're like, that's not me. I did that, but Pastor Jeff, that up and down stuff, that's me. Maybe today you just want to come and pray right here. I'm not going to come pray with you. I'm not going to bother you. This is simply you saying, God, I'm not asking for more of you. I'm offering more of me. I have not been walking with you. I haven't been staying in contact with you, and I feel so many times I'm living that defeated life. Here's the thing, Paul did too, so this is uncommon. So don't feel like, oh man, shame on me. No, come and be honest and say, Jesus, take more of me. Help me to start this new week where I walk in and with your spirit because I want to be spiritually dangerous. And for those of you who today are like, man, I feel like I'm spiritually dangerous, stay there. Don't move. Stay connected to the third rail. You're right where you need to be if that produce is coming out of you. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? I'm going to pray for you. And the band's going to play. Listen, here's the thing. As they play, if God is leading you to come and make a public testimony or to receive Christ, you come. You're not going to insult them. That's the whole point of this. We're not going to go long, but you come. Dear Jesus, right now I pray, Holy Spirit, move in this place. Holy Spirit, nudge, convict, and convince people of where they are today. And then, Lord, if you need to take them to a new dimension, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you'd set them free to do so, and you give them the courage and the boldness to step out in faith and trust and obey, to yield to you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Holy Spirit, rest on us in this moment, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to come, you come.